commencing our harvest services with the singing of 732, the hymn number 732. We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. 732, and we'll stand to sing God's praise, please. Let's seek the Lord together in a word of prayer, and let's pray for this service even today as we gather in God's house to thank Him for all of His mercies toward us. Let's pray. Our loving and our eternal Father in heaven, in and through the name of Thy dear Son, we come with boldness, with confidence into Thy immediate presence. Rejoice, O God, for all barriers that have been removed. O God, that enmity that has been destroyed by the death of Christ, whereby we are now enabled by faith to enter into Thine immediate presence. We thank Thee that we are found to be accepted there in the Beloved. We rejoice, O God, in our union with Jesus Christ, joined to Him eternally by love's strong cord. We rejoice, dear Father, that today we're in the family of God. And as we come as the redeemed of God into Thy holy presence and into this house, we come with thanksgiving and with praise on our hearts. We thank Thee for Thy mercy towards us that finds us at another harvest season. We thank Thee for this time of the year, the many gospel lessons that we learn even from the autumn season, the ingathering of the harvest, and how it is a reminder that someday we shall be gathered in. There is the final harvest, the harvest O God, whereby the angels shall come forth and sever the just from the unjust, sever the wheat from the tares, and take the tares and bundle them up and cast them into everlasting fire, and yet shall gather on to Christ that harvest for which he died, those souls for whom he bled and suffered for, who those individuals, the elect of God, O God, of whom Christ was given even by the Father there in eternity past, a people given unto the Son by the Father for the reward of his life and his sufferings on the cross of Calvary. We are reminded by the falling of the leaf that we too shall fade as a leaf. And someday, O God, we shall fall from the tree of life. And Lord, where will we be in God's eternity? We think, O God, of the, as it were, life ebbing away, and how even in this season, and as the winter draws on, how we're reminded that so we shall, Lord, life shall soon end for us all, and we'll go out to meet God in eternity. Lord, speak to us. We think of the decaying of the flowers, and Lord, how we shall decay as well. And Lord, we cry that as we think of these things, that gospel matters and the matters of eternity will come freshly to our minds and to our hearts. We thank thee for thy goodness to us, and this the goodness of God to our province. O God, as we said, even in our time of prayer, we should be in famine as a result of our sin, as a result of the wickedness of our nation and of those who rule over us. And yet thy mercy, dear God, has provided another harvest. For, O Lord, for this is the promise of God, that while earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat, shall not cease. And we rejoice that thou art faithful to thy word and to thy promises, and shall be until time shall be no more, and throughout all of God's eternity, thou wilt be faithful to thy word. Lord, come and show us mercy. Lord, send us tokens of blessing. We think, O God, of the Israelites and how they would come at the time of the first gathering in, the time of the first fruits, to thank thee for even the promise of the harvest, the first fruits of the harvest, in anticipation for a greater harvest that would be brought in. And yet at the Feast of Tabernacles, when the harvest was gathered in, they would gather again for public worship to thank God for his mercy and providing, O God, all their needs. And Lord, how good thou hast been to us. And surely we can say, of thy mercies we are not consumed. Great is thy faithfulness. We thank thee for the faithfulness of our God. And we pray that thou will continue, O God, to be faithful to us. And Lord, help us to be faithful to thee. Meet every individual at the point of need, we pray. Bless thy servants as they come to minister among us. And may we know a sense of the divine presence of God among us. For we offer prayer in and through our Savior's precious and holy and worthy name. Amen and amen. Let's turn again to the hymn 734. 734. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eaves. Let's sing the verses of 734.
Come on.
Amen. Well, we're glad to have not only the Reverend Larmer with us this morning, but also his wife, Mrs. Jenna Larmer, and our sister Jenna is going to come and sing her two pieces in song at this time. Thank you.
Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Where might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in? When Christ the great creator died for man, thus might I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt my eyes to tears. But drops of tears can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Help me, dear Savior, thee to walk and ever faithful be. And when thou sittest on thy throne, dear Lord, remember me. And when thou sittest on thy throne, O Lord, remember me.
We thank you, dear sister, for singing and ministering in song to us. Thinking about a verse that tied the really the two pieces together, and my mind was taken to John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And we thank God for the shepherd of love and the one who went the whole way to the cross to die for our sins. Thank you, sister, for singing in the gospel. We want to welcome one and all to our Harvest Thanksgiving weekend, to our family worship service here. We welcome you if you're visiting. We thank you for coming. And for those who are always here, we're glad of your presence and your support. And we trust that over the weekend that we'll know a spiritual ingathering and that a harvest of souls will be brought to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may that be so. And may those who have sown, may others have the opportunity to reap even in the harvest. We remind you of the services for the rest of today and then throughout the rest of the week. 3:30 is our bi-weekly open air, and our brother Mr. David Junkin will preach at that service. 6:30, the prayer time in the church hall. 7 o'clock, the gospel service. And the preacher this evening will be our brother, the Reverend Daniel Henderson, the singer, Mrs. Helen McGill. So do your best, be out again at the house of God, encouraging others to come and hear as the gospel is preached. And then Monday evening at 7:30, time of prayer up in the old prayer room. We're up in the old cry room tomorrow night in the will of God, because other facilities are being used for the harvest supper. So 7:30, we'll go up into the upper room and we'll cry to God for his mercy and his help. Help for the meeting set 8 o'clock, the Harvest Monday night service, the preacher, the Reverend Thomas Laverty, and the singers, Alistair and Sharon Brown. And Harvest Supper will be served afterwards. We just remind the ladies concerning that Harvest Supper, remember all that you've promised to bring for the Harvest Supper tomorrow night after the service. Wednesday night then, our Bible study and prayer meeting at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. We continue our study on challenging the culture, and this week I'll speak on the subject of sodomy, and so that is a subject for this Wednesday night. Mrs. Keane will be along, as she normally is, to support the work in Uganda this Wednesday night. Then on Friday night, there is no children's meeting this week because we have our presbytery meeting, and they are meeting here in Portland Owen at 8 o'clock. Could I encourage our session and committee men, and we need all to be present at that meeting, but we encourage them to be here from about 7:15 in order to get the cars parked and the men in to the meeting. With respect to the ladies, could you come for 9:30? And if any can come a little bit earlier, then speak to Andrea. Now, we'd still need a few extra ladies to help with respect to the serving out of food. It is being served out here in the old prayer room, but we still need ladies to help to serve out tea and just to make sure everyone is served. So if there are any ladies who can help, this is an opportunity for you to serve the Lord. We encourage you to come. And as we did last time, ladies, we would ask you to just to have a head covering. We did that last time, and it was commented upon by the men of Presbytery. So ladies, if you're coming, please have a head covering. Little berry, and that will keep us all right. Then 8 o'clock, young people, you're meeting at the Laverty's for a time of fellowship, for your youth fellowship meeting, 8 o'clock over at the Laverty's. Next Lord's Day, 8 a.m., our time of prayer. It is our early morning prayer meeting, the first Lord's Day of the month. Then 10:30, Sunday School Bible class, 12 noon, family worship. 3 o'clock is a meeting over in Kuntulla in the nursing home there. I'll be preaching at the gospel service there, 3 o'clock. If at all possible, you can come and help us. We'll be glad of your support and helping us to sing the gospel. 7 o'clock, the gospel service. I'll be preaching at those services next Lord's Day. Can I thank all those who helped to decorate the church tastefully, and all those who provided items to be brought, whether those be edible items or other items to help just to decorate the church. We thank you in the Saviour's name and for all your labours. Your labours are much appreciated, and you know who you are, and we thank God for the faithful band of workers yesterday. And then just to remind you that, God willing, the Millers will be back with us in the will of God this week. They're coming home from Uganda for a little time in order to help our brother Stephen with his health issues. And so they fly on Tuesday, and they hope to be back in Northern Ireland sometime on Wednesday. When that will all be determined by their flights. But pray for their safety as they make their way back to the home congregation here. That's all by way of announcements. Let's turn to the hymn number 50 for our harvest offering. The hymn number 50, it is the last Lord's Day of the month. And so we remind you that it is also our building fund Sunday. Hymn number 50, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father. We'll remain seated while the offering and the tithe is brought in for God's work.
Thank you.
We're glad that God's servant has made the short journey over here to Portalnone to preach God's word. We're going to ask him to bring the word that God has placed upon his heart for us today in the house of God. Thank you.
You have your Bibles with you. We're turning to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. And while you turn to that portion of God's word, I thank your minister, your session, for the kind words of welcome, for the opportunity to bring God's word even at this special harvest service. Jeremiah chapter 8, we're commencing our reading at verse 15. Breaking in on our reading at verse 15, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter. Jeremiah chapter 8, and beginning at verse 15, let us hear God's word. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones. For they are come, and have devoured the land, and all that is in it, the city, and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Sion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 22. As we state at the end of this chapter, knowing that God will indeed bless even this, the public reading of his word, as he's declared and promised even to do so. Let us bow briefly with God's word open before us at this portion of which we've read together, and let us knit our hearts together, all who are saved, born again of the Spirit of God, praying even now as one man, under one head, asking God for his divine blessing, his divine intervention. And therefore let us come together as a family of God's people, and those who are unsaved, those who are not saved, you ask God to speak to you, and not only to speak to you, but to save your soul, your never-dying soul, even where you're seated. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, our most gracious, eternal, loving, heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy help given already in this meeting. We thank thee for your presence. We thank thee for your promise, and your promise is not void. Where two or three are gathered together, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And Lord, we thank thee that thou art in the midst of thy people. Not in the sideline, and we say it reverently, not in the background, but in the midst of thy people. And that the one who is in the midst of us is mighty. And Lord, we thank thee that thou art able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And Lord, we pray for that help even now in the proclamation of divine truth. And Lord, I publicly confess I need thee. And I ask of thee that thou wilt meet me at the very point of my need. I ask of thee that you'll meet each and every individual at the point of his or her need. O Lord, as our faces differ, so do our needs. And we pray for thy extending arm even in this meeting. And Lord, that thou wilt work in our midst, and that we will observe thee at work among us. O Lord, empty me now of self and of sin, and fill me full of the Holy Ghost and with power. Help us now, and further help us, from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. I ask these things in our Saviour's precious name, and for our Saviour's sake. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 8, and the first 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. The seasons are past. Seasons have passed, and the benefits and blessings of the physical harvest have been brought in, as many have decorated even the church, and much has been brought in. We return and give thanks, and we return gratitude for these temporal blessings, for God's common grace bestowed upon the saved, bestowed upon the unsaved, for God's common grace, His temporal blessings upon the godly and the ungodly. We return thanks for the preservation of life itself. You see, the harvest and summer, as you'll know, are parts of the year. And one year passes after another, one campaign after another, and yet you're still not saved. Seasons have gone. Oh yes, you're in here, in this meeting house, but yet not in Christ. Yet not saved. The harvest is past. The summer is ended and we are not saved. Not saved. Not saved, friend. Is this your plight? Your state before a holy God? You've been warned continually of the judgment to come. Season after season, time and time again, bidden to escape for your life. And many a season has been misspent, and many an opportunity has been scorned and misused. And at this very present moment, not saved. The harvest is past. The summer is ended and we are not saved. Oh, you know. You do certainly know the way of salvation. You've read it from God's holy word. You've been taught it from a mother or father's knee. It's been preached from this very pulpit. It's been preached and explained from many a preacher, by friends or even your family. And yet you neglect the soul's salvation. You neglect the way of salvation. Oh, you're not saved. Not saved. Oh, you will be without excuse when the Lord will judge the quick and dead. God the Holy Spirit, the person of God the Holy Spirit, has blessed God's word that has been preached in meetings in which you have sat. God's Holy Spirit has blessed God's word in harvest services of the past, in which you have sought when others have been saved. in meetings where you have sat, where others have been saved, and times of refreshing have come from the divine presence of God, and yet you're without Jesus Christ. All these seasons of opportunity have come and gone, and you as an individual have misspent them. You've wasted them, you've misused them. Your harvest, your summer have passed, and yet you still remain not saved, unsaved. Years have ended, passed into God's eternity, and friend, this could be your final year. This could be your final year. Final one. Your youth is gone, or is quickly passing and yet not saved. The harvest is past. The summer is ended and we are not saved. Still not saved. Oh, we see immediately from these words of the passing of time. Of the passing of time and wasted opportunities. Because those who utter these words are deeply aware that time and opportunity have been misspent, have been wasted, because it is gone. And it won't return. And these words arise from the awful reality that time is not coming back. That time won't return. And those opportunities that were afforded them have gone forever. Have gone forever. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. You see, they had missed, used, and abused and misspent and wasted God-given opportunities. God-given opportunities, and they would never come again. And therefore, how many opportunities have you misused? How many opportunities have you wasted? How many opportunities, God-given opportunities, have you as an individual misspent? Opportunities gone. Misused, misspent. All the precious possessions that God gives to men in the space of time to repent, and opportunities to hear and benefit from the gospel of Jesus Christ. All has been misspent, misused, and treated with scorn. You know, Jeremiah, God's man, God's servant, was filled with heavy grief. Filled with heavy grief that there were those that misused the God-given opportunities that had been given them. You know, he as an individual had loved them. He loved them better than they loved themselves. And Jeremiah preached for 50 years. And not one convert, a faithful man of God, preaching what God had given him to preach. And he loved them better than they loved themselves. And I tell you, friend, a preacher whom God sends, a preacher whom God sends will often feel more care for the souls of men than men do for themselves, that men feel for their own salvation. And therefore, is it not sad that there should be an anxious pain in the heart of one who is himself saved, pardoned, forgiven, and redeemed by precious blood. An anxious pain in the heart of one who is himself saved, while those who were unsaved feel little or no concern whatsoever. No concern whatsoever. Misspent opportunities. Time wasted. The harvest is past. The summer has ended and we are not saved. Oh, they know that they are not saved. They know that they are not saved, and so do you, poor sinner. You know you're not saved. Not born again. Not redeemed by precious blood, not saved, not pardoned, not forgiven. But they do not blame themselves for it. Just like you do not blame yourself for it. Oh, they know they're not saved. We are not saved. And men do not realize their responsibility. Men do not realize their accountability. Do not realize that the problem of not being saved lies within themselves. Oh, salvation only can be found in the Lord. And so, dear friend, this present moment, this present opportunity, it should be seized upon. It should be seized upon because God is able to help and to heal. But if sinners die, if individuals die, they die of their own wound. They die of their own sins, and their blood is upon their own heads. You see, friend, the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ is the balm in Gilead, is the balm in Gilead. His Spirit is the great physician, which is all sufficient so that men, women, boys and girls may be healed, may be pardoned, may be redeemed, but they will not come because of their own self-determined sinfulness. And therefore, men die. Men die unpardoned. Women die unforgiven, unchanged, because they will not come to Jesus Christ to be saved. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Well, these were the words of the Jews, a religious people, despairing of help and salvation, and that they would be delivered from the siege of the Chaldeans. But rescue didn't come, and so why were they not saved? Why were they not saved? Well, there are several reasons, and time wouldn't permit us to look at them all. But I'll mention two, as the Lord helps us. And one of them was that the fact they were looking at the wrong place. They were looking in the wrong place to be saved. They were looking in the wrong direction. They were looking in the direction of the Egyptians for deliverance. They were looking to Egypt for help. And isn't Egypt a picture of the world? And friend, if you're looking to the world or to man for deliverance from sin, or to a church, or to a denomination, or to works, or whatever you care to mention that is outside of Jesus Christ, there's no deliverance there. None whatsoever. You see, they were looking in the wrong direction. Harvest and summer being over, there was no hope whatsoever of the Egyptians coming to their relief, seeing winter was approaching, and hence their cry, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." And we are not saved. The time has passed. The end is up. And we are not redeemed. Oh, they were looking in the wrong direction. And therefore, friend, if you're looking anywhere else for deliverance than Jesus Christ, then you are looking in the wrong place, in the wrong direction. And therefore, look away from whatever it is, whether it be in the form of self, whether it be in the form of your own hands, your own doings, your own works, your own righteousness, your own doings. I tell you, friend, all must be looked away from. And Christ only looked onto by a direct act of faith for righteousness, for pardon, for all supplies of grace, and for glory, and for eternal happiness. Because he is to be looked onto as the Son of God, whose glory is the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is to be looked onto as the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, as the only Savior and Redeemer of lost sinners. Misspent opportunity. You see, there was a way of deliverance. There was a way of deliverance. Had they only turned and looked in that direction, in that place, in that way, but instead they chose their own way. They chose another way. Another way. And friend, to look for help or deliverance in any other source, and I don't care what that source is, to look to any other source, any other source outside of that which is prescribed in Scripture is but a vain thing. Is a vain thing. Because dependence upon ourselves is looking to another. Whether that dependence upon self takes the form of relying upon a church, upon a denomination, or depending upon prayers, or depending, trusting in our own attempts to improve ourselves. This is all folly. As the Scriptures make it abundantly clear, therefore by the deeds of the flesh, or the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. And friend, you may be very earnest. And you may be very serious about divine things. And I doubt it not. But friend, if you look to any measure of what you have done or do, if you look to even an iota, such a small character of what you are or what you can do or even to what man can do for you, it is no wonder that you're not saved. Because there's no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. And just like these Jews, you're doing the exact same thing. Looking in the wrong place. Looking in the wrong way. Looking in the wrong direction. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and you're not saved. Friend, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh dear, saved. Dear redeemed. Brethren and sisters in Christ, you should seize every opportunity to expose your family, to expose your friends, to expose your neighbors to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you too should seize every God-given opportunity to see friends and family found under the preaching of God's word, that they too would hear words whereby they can be saved. Because man, in his natural state, needs to be saved. Needs to be saved. But friend, you may have the most fruitful of harvests. You may have the most fruitful of harvests, and the greatest of summers may shine upon you. But while you look to yourself and remain unsaved, do you understand, and I would to God that you would understand, the eternal barrenness will be your portion if you reject Jesus Christ and refuse to come to Him and to Him alone. And therefore do not make the same mistake as these people did. These things are written for our learning, that we may not make the same mistakes as these people did, and therefore turn away from those things that would preoccupy your attention and will take you to a Christless eternity, and do not look to any other for deliverance, for there is none, friend. But look unto Christ and live. Isn't this what he said? Look unto me. Look on to me. Salvation is in a person. Look on to me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. But the other reason is that they were boasting in their outward privileges. They were boasting in their outward privileges, and this was another reason why they were not saved, because they had presumed upon their favoured possession. For as it states in verse 19, is not the Lord in Sion? Is not her king in her? And we understand that the Jews, they had belonged to a chosen nation. The Jews, because the Lord had entrusted them with the oracles of God. And he revealed himself to their fathers, and therefore they thought that they might sin with license. Thought that they might sin and get away with it. And so they were boasting in their outward privileges, reckoning upon, therefore, being delivered in the day of danger because of their outward privileges. And I wonder how many are doing likewise, boasting in outward privileges, depending on outward religion, or thinking that apart from personal faith in Jesus Christ that you will be saved because you have a connection to the Free Presbyterian Church. or having a godly mother, a godly grandmother, a godly father, a godly relation or connection. Because friend, if this is what you are resting on, if this is what you as an individual is depending upon, I tell you from the authority of this book, you'll be damned in hell forever. If that's what you're resting on, if that's what you're leaning on, these men waste opportunities. And friend, you've misspent the harvest for its past. And you've wasted the summer for its ended. And I tell you, friend, are you going to misuse this opportunity, this moment? Are you going to misuse it? Because the provision of a Saviour. Oh yes, we look at the temporal blessings and those provisions from God's hand. But the provision of a Saviour for lost men is the free gift of God. And rejection of this gift cannot be a small sin. Cannot be a small sin, because he that believeth not is condemned already. And what are you condemned for? Because you've not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And rejection of divine mercy as presented in Jesus Christ is an abomination. Oh yes, we abhor abortion. And it's an abomination. We abhor same-sex marriage, sodomy, because that's an abomination. But I tell you, rejecting the free offer of the gospel is no light matter. And it is great sin, because it's sinning against light. Sinning against light. And it's an abomination against God. Because you must either receive the mercy of God in Christ, or you must be condemned. There's no other alternative. And therefore, friend, you must trust Jesus Christ, whom God the Father has sent forth to be the propitiation and appeasement and atonement for sin, or else you must be driven from the presence of God into eternal punishment, which is wrath to come. And therefore, friend, if you are not saved in this life, do you understand? If you are not saved in this life, you will not be saved in the life to come. You won't. If you're not saved in this life, you will not be saved in the life to come. And therefore, let not this be your damning cry. And we are not saved. Not saved. You see, friend, without a righteousness, a perfect righteousness, there'll be no entrance into eternal bliss and everlasting happiness. And this righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. This righteousness must exceed the righteousness of what sinful men and women seek to work out, which is none other than the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And therefore, man, woman, Boy, girl, you need to ponder long the truth that the sin that is rooted in your soul, you will not throw off as you do your hanger, a coat upon a hanger. Because sin is a part of your being, and sin will live long after harvest is past and summer is ended. And sin, if not checked and repented of in this life, will destroy you and ruin you in the life to come. These men, they wasted opportunities. They had continued in provoking the Lord. They had rejected the word of the Lord, the message of God, and they never returned from their sin and neither trusted Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. The harvest has passed, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. And I tell you, friend, there's a time comes. There comes a time when you cannot be saved. There comes a time when there is no longer an opportunity to be saved. There comes a time when a man or woman is unable to be saved because once God's wrath falls upon an individual, nothing whatsoever can buy that soul back. Once a man is lost in hell forever, it is too late. It is too late. Not even the blood of Jesus Christ can purchase that individual back. And therefore beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Time when you cannot be saved, when time has passed, when you're no more in this life, when you've entered into death and eternity, it is then that you're beyond hope. But friend, you're not beyond hope. You're in a day of grace. You're in a day of opportunity, and therefore do not misspend it. Do not misuse it. Do not waste it, but come to Jesus Christ and come to Him now. Right now. In this golden opportunity to be saved, to be redeemed, and to be another one gathered in among the family of God, united in Christ, saved for time and for eternity. Friend, hell is forever. And if you reject Jesus Christ and His finished work in this life, you'll not receive Him in the life to come. And therefore, seize the opportunity now. Come now. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You've come into the house of God. Unjust, unsaved, not saved. And yet, in coming to Jesus Christ, turning from sin and trusting Him now, you can leave this house just. Just. Saved. Redeemed. By precious blood. Will you come to Him? Well, friend, don't misuse the opportunity. Escape for thy life. And flee from the wrath to come. And flee to the Christ
of God. Let us bow reverently, quietly, in prayer, conscious that we're still in the Lord's presence. Reverend Stuart and myself will be going down to the door. Friend, if you're concerned about these matters, the Lord's been speaking to you. Do not delay. Do not delay. Come to Him at once. You don't need us, you need Christ. We'll be happy to open the Word of God with you and simply point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear child of God, time is short. Life is short. And let us as God's people to not neglect the means of grace and to seize every opportunity, even in inviting sinners to Jesus Christ. Lord, our most gracious, eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for a sense of Thy divine presence, for the help given in the proclamation of truth, for the help given in the accompanying of the pieces and song, for each and every message. And Lord, we pray that Thou will help us, even in the rest of this Thy day. We pray for Your mighty power to descend, and that sinners would come in repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Remember the Reverend Henderson even tonight. We pray that You'll bring many in from the surrounding area, and not only bringing them into the meeting house, but bringing them savingly to Christ. Apply Thy word savingly, we ask these things in our Saviour's precious name and for our Saviour's sake. Amen.